thanks to Team GB's amazing success. There's 67 extra prizes to win in the Lotto medal event this Saturday. Prizes for bronze and silver medals, and 27 prizes of £1 million for gold. Anyone can win with the Lotto medal event. Get your ticket today. Game rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 plus.
Log Talk Radio.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't possibly get any worse for Hillary Clinton, it's gotten like 10 times worse. And now it's about Huma Abedin, you know, Mrs. Carlos Danger, the woman who I do find very attractive, by the way, I must confess this. But she's married to that really douchey guy that Mrs. Carlos Danger, Anthony Weiner, the guy who was sexting his junk everywhere and continues to do that, by the way. Anyway, now what we're finding out about Huma almost dwarfs all the problems with Hillary's health. And this poor woman, I feel awful for her. I mean, just getting wheeled around everywhere and being lifted everywhere and all that. But the Huma stuff is even worse because there are more like 15,000, literally 15,000 emails that Hillary Clinton tried to swipe or wipe or whatever off the server. And they never got to the FBI somehow. And now, because of a Judicial Watch court filing, the court said, oh, yeah, you have got to release these 15,000 emails, the State Department, and you've got to do it before the election. It's unbelievable. This is such a monstrous human being, this woman. God, she's so awful on so many levels. So anyway, so the emails are starting to show that this Huma Abedin, whatever the hell her name is, was intricately, deeply involved, I'm not even saying the right words here, but just really involved in this whole pay-for-play thing with the Clinton Foundation, that like the head of Bahrain, which is, by the way, a horrible monarchy, they do terrible, terrible human rights abuses, but we need Bahrain because we've got a big naval port there for the Fifth Fleet or something, so we've got to make nice with these monsters there in Bahrain. Bahrain, by the way, is somewhere in the Middle East near water. Anyway, so they pay umpteen million dollars, and then Huma, it picks up the phone and goes, okay, you got to see this guy. I just paid you $15 million when they're in the, you know, the Clinton Foundation. So Huma, God, I can't even say her name, Huma Abedin is kind of like the main go-between here with the Clinton Foundation, with the pay-to-play, and for Hillary Clinton. So all these emails are coming out, ones that Hillary thought that she had somehow swiped clean from her server, now they're coming out, and it's just, God, the lying, Jesus, the lying with this. But it gets worse, because as bad as this Huma thing is with the pay-to-play, now I just found out that this woman did, I thought, something, or associated with something absolutely horrible, and that is there's this magazine, this publication, that her mom is in charge of, and I guess she's the publisher or something. And this Huma Abedin had been involved in this thing as an editor, not as a freelance writer or even a staff writer, but as an editor. That's very high up the food chain for a number of years. In fact, her name was on the masthead. And this publication blames the United States for 9/11. And Huma was deeply involved here with this thing. Now, why is this important? It's important for a number of reasons. One, we have to be consistent. Do you remember when Donald Trump, back during the primaries, got into all sorts of trouble with the establishment media when he said that he saw on his TV Muslim Americans cheering 9/11? That he said, oh, I saw it, I absolutely saw it, and all that. And back in 2001, we didn't have the kind of social media we have now. We, you know, can't record everything. And people were trying to find it, or they said they were trying to find these different video clips of supposedly Muslim Americans in, I guess, Jersey City or somewhere in New Jersey, but you can see the towers going down. And they were cheering and applauding and all that kind of stuff. Now, look, I have no idea if that's true in the United States. I am sure that's true in other parts of the world. It was true when it happened. I don't know about the United States. The point here is this, though. The point here is that the media said that, hey, you said something and we don't have any proof, so you got to come up with the proof, and you know, you got to – they held them accountable for this, saying this statement that there were Arab Americans who were cheering on 9/11 and, you know, thought it was a good thing. I mean, it's crazy stuff. Well, what's good for Donald Trump, and by the way, I had no trouble with that. If Donald Trump's going to say something, he better back it up. And if he can't back it up and gets grief over it, then shame on him. That's absolutely on him. No question at all. But the same's got to apply now for Hillary Clinton and this Huma Abedin, because she now, we find out, was deeply involved in this publication that her mother is the publisher of. This woman was an editor of this thing. And they're saying in this publication that the United States was responsible for 9/11. Well, if you're going to hold Donald Trump to one standard here when he makes outrageous statements and can't back them up, then you better hold her accountable as well. And it turns out that it's very easy to hold her accountable because she was deeply involved in this thing. I mean, this is unbelievable. How did this woman ever get the security clearance? How did she ever do this? I have no idea. And why is she still employed? That's the other thing. My God, can you imagine if Donald Trump had hired somebody who was saying that, hey, you know, 9/11, you know, the United States deserved what it got. Oh, yeah. I mean, the media would be losing its mind, and I couldn't blame them. And they would say, wow, you can't have this person on staff. What's the matter with you? He's, you know, saying the United States is responsible for 9/11. Now, look, you know I'm a libertarian. I'm a life member of the Libertarian Party. I know all about blowback. I know all about the debate in 2012, Republican presidential debate with Dr. Ron Paul, my beloved Dr. Ron Paul, who was born in Pittsburgh, Greentree, grew up in Greentree, right outside the city limits. And I know the big thing he got involved with was Rudy Giuliani, and Dr. Ron Paul talked about blowback and all of this kind of stuff. I absolutely get that. And I can't say that I disagree with Dr. Ron Paul, big picture stuff. I cannot say that. I absolutely get that line of reasoning. Set that aside, because we're not talking about libertarians here. We're talking about the two old parties. We're talking about the Republican Party with Donald Trump, and we're talking about the old Democratic Party with Hillary Clinton. And when Donald Trump said, well, you know, these Arabs, I think he's, I don't know what the hell he said, but they were cheering 9/11, you know, when it happened, and the media's going, oh, you have no proof of this, there's no whatever. Well, now we do have proof that Hillary Clinton's main person, and probably the person that's closest to her, other than her husband, is this Huma Abedin, was an editor for like a number of years in this publication, her mom's publication. And this publication was saying, oh, yes, the United States deserved 9/11 because the United States brought it on itself. How on earth can you have this woman on your staff when she is so deeply involved in this? Is it any wonder that people are going, why can't Hillary Clinton even say radical Muslim or radical? Oh, God, no, I can't say it. But radical Islamic terrorism. That was it. That's it. Radical Islamic terrorism. Well, when you've got somebody on your staff, who one of your closest advisors, I can't believe how attractive I think she is. I don't know what it is about her. She really looks good to me. But your closest advisor, being an editor in this publication, how can you possibly have her on your staff? The media should be losing its mind, the establishment media, which, of course, it's not. And in fact, it's so bad, they're trying to cover for her. It's so bad that tonight on CNN, I'm going back and forth. I won't turn on I have it muted because it's the same story every night. And they're trying to do whatever they can to change the subject. And tonight, I swear to you, I'm not making this up. On CNN, right before 8 o'clock, they had this update on the Disney World alligator. It might still be alive. Ooh, it's like, who cares? Jesus, who cares? So there's all of that. Also, I predicted that Julian Assange, the head of WikiLeaks, who was holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy in the UK because of trumped up charges in Sweden. But look, they're trying to throw this guy in prison. All the governments, whether it's the UK or the United States, they hate this guy. There have actually been people in the media and American media saying they want him dead, whether it's a Bob Bickle or Brickle, something like that. He used to be on Fox. Big guy, kind of, you know, rough and gruff liberal guy, or some other writers in tweets saying that, oh, we'd be happy if we had a drone that killed, you know, Julian Assange. I mean, people want this guy dead. And I think he is a hero, and he is a hero. And, you know, Edward Snowden's a hero, and Chelsea Manning. These are all my heroes, you know, because Thomas Drake, another one, you know, and Wiebe and Binney, these are all people, whistleblowers who are trying to tell us the truth, and we turn on them. It's just the sickest thing in the world. I don't know what it is with society and whistleblowers. We should be praising these people. Anyway, I said on my show, I wouldn't be surprised if they would try to kill Julian Assange. Now, please understand, I don't wear a tinfoil hat, as you can tell from my Facebook Live friends. You know, we simulcast this on blogtalkradio.com and on Facebook Live, weeknights, 9 p.m. Eastern time. So my Facebook Live friends, and by the way, we have a lot who are joining us tonight. Let me just say thank you to them right now. Jim has joined us, and Aaron, and George, and David, and Geraldine, and Joe, and Bob, and Kathy. By the way, Kathy really doesn't like, I don't know what I've ever done to her. I really don't. Anyway, and Bob Nay, wonderful guy. Bob Nay and David. David's a great guy for a liberal, but boy, is he upset with me when I start pointing out that Hillary Clinton is like falling apart, that she's decrepit. Oh my God, it makes him crazy. Anyway, and I'm just doing my job as a journalist. And Steve and so many others, thank you all. Thank you all so much for joining us. So we're here in the lifepedigree.com studio. And I'll tell you about lifepedigree.com. In fact, I'll tell you right now, because that way I can get it out of the way. There's so much juicy stuff tonight. Also a great interview. Conservative comic Michael Loftus of The Flip Side with Michael Loftus had a great interview with him. I want to share this with you. He's losing his mind over the Never Trump conservatives. He really is. He's just losing his mind, which makes for a really great interview. Whenever you have a guest who's like losing his mind and really going crazy, it's the best fun. Oh, it's the best. So I've got that for you as well. So lifepedigree.com. Okay. If you have a company and you hire people, even one person, you're getting resumes. At least you should be getting resumes if you're smart, unless you're hiring your family members, and it's probably not the best way to go. Unless you're the Trumps, in which case he's got some pretty good kids. But if you're not Donald Trump, and chances are you're not, you're going to be hiring people, and they're going to be sending you resumes. Well, a lot of times you get resumes, and every once in a while, you know, some look pretty good. Every once in a great while, man, this looks too good to be true. This resume is fantastic, and she looks great, or he looks great. The resume is great. Oh, yeah, I'll hire you. That's when you play that sad trombone thing. I have to do it that way. Otherwise, I'd have to pay an ASCAP fee for a royalty for that the trombone thing, the sad trombone, and I'm not going to pay ASCAP because screw them. So that's about the best I can do with the sad trombone. Yeah, you got to make sure that when you get a resume that looks too good to be true, think to yourself, you know, this is too good to be true. And if the person looks really terrific, if she looks really hot or he looks really handsome or, you know, whatever you're into, all the more reason to use lifepedigree.com. Send that resume to lifepedigree.com. I'll give you the email address in just a second. And for a very, very low price, because they've got the whole economies of scale going on. They'll check everything on that resume, and they'll make sure, because they know who to call. They know how to contact and check about, was it a, you know, they were in the military service. Okay, so what did they do? Was it an honorable discharge? Was it a little sketchy? What's going on there? This gap, does this mean they were in jail or prison? What about arrest records? What about credit scores? What about 101 other things that you couldn't begin to try to figure out? And then you got to call all these people that they supposedly worked for and try to find the right supervisor. And did they really do this kind of work? Don't bother with that. Your job is to sell widgets. You're with the ABC Widget Company. You're Mr. Widget, and you sell widgets. You're good at selling widgets. You're not good at trying to figure out how people lie in resumes, because they lie all the time. Oh, my God. That's just, the world's gone crazy. So lifepedigree.com steps in. Send the resumes, all the resumes, to lifepedigree.com. Lifepedigree.com checks everything and puts its seal of approval on the resumes that check out. They send all the resumes back to you. You look at the ones that check out, and surprise, surprise, the one that looked too good to be true was too good to be true. And then from the people who actually told the truth, you hire one of them, especially if they're one of your relatives, and then, you know, you got it made. Lifepedigree.com. Here's the email address. It's sales@lifepedigree.com. sales@lifepedigree.com. On the subject line, put in my name, Dimitri. That's with three I's. Dimitri. The reason for that is lifepedigree.com will see Dimitri, and they will know that you're coming from the Dimitri ecosystem, which means you're one of my 5,000 Facebook friends, you're one of my hundreds of followers on Facebook, or thousands, tens of thousands of followers on Twitter, and they've checked all of them out to make sure that they aren't spammy accounts or fake accounts or anything. They're like actually real people. They're very smart like that, lifepedigree.com. So sales@lifepedigree.com, Dimitri in the subject line, so they know that you're legit. You're coming from the Dimitri ecosystem, and that way you have a better chance of hiring some really good people who are honest. What a nice thing that would be, huh? All right, lifepedigree.com. So more people joining us here. We've got, let's see, John, hello from Hartford. Love that big stag deer thing. Keith is joining us from Phoenix. Oh, there was some kind of a Phoenix news story. I think it's about their mayor, or not their mayor, but the sheriff of Pio. The feds are going after him now because, well, the feds are a-holes. So what are you going to do? Okay, Bob May, yes. Anthony Weiner's wife was funded by the Muslim World League, which was created by the Saudi royal family and investigated several times for terrorist connections. Yes, and now I find out that she was the editor of this publication for a number of years. Her mom is in charge of the publication, and they're saying that 9/11 was America deserved it. And how is this Hillary Clinton still having her on her staff? But again, it's the same Hillary Clinton who, after we found out through WikiLeaks, and more about WikiLeaks in a second, that the game was rigged, that the Democratic Party, with all their emails that we finally found, everything Bernie Sanders said about it being rigged, about them putting their thumb on the scale and everything else, was all true. And that Debbie Wasserman Schultz is probably one of the most obnoxious people I've ever seen in my life. Jesus, I just want to just... Anyway, and of course, she was cheating. She was, you know, the fix was in. So she had to resign. So what's her new job now? She is the co-chair. I'm not sure if that's the official title, but it might as well be the co-chair of the Hillary Clinton reelection campaign. Hillary does take care of, and Hillary is shameless. She's just absolutely shameless. Oh, Debbie Wasserman Schultz was caught cheating to help me. Okay, I'll hire her and I'll give her a really high position too. It's unbelievable. God almighty, these people are the worst. It's just, the Clinton slime trail is like nothing I've ever seen in my life. And of course, with Hillary, doesn't matter because laws don't apply to her. I mean, they just don't apply. We just find out now 15,000 emails that she should have turned over to the State Department. She didn't do it. And you had to get a court order now to try to make her to turn them over. And we're starting to find out that this pay-to-play thing is just absolutely horrendous. Just, I mean, millions of dollars just to get buying access to the government. And she doesn't care. Debbie Wasserman Schultz caught cheating. Oh, but she was cheating for me. I'll give her a nice position with my, you know, with my campaign. Oh, Huma Abedin. She was an editor at a publication that said 9/11 was actually America's fault. Oh, that's fine. She'll be one of my closest advisors. And we wonder why that Hillary Clinton cannot bring herself to say radical Islamic terrorism. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me. It's just absolutely mind-boggling. Michael's joining us. Happy Monday. Did Huma have a come to Jesus after leaving that publication, or is she still affiliated with that ideology and a political threat to American security? If you have to ask, chances are that she shouldn't be involved in any kind of campaign. But and I think Trump and the conservative PACs, I think, are going to be hammering her shamelessly about this. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It all ties in with this narrative that, you know, it's like I feel like I live in a parallel universe. You know, it's just what has happened to this world? What has happened to this republic? It's like the laws don't apply anymore. Morals out the window. You know, rich people, the laws don't affect them at all. It's just, we'll do anything however we want it. Oh, by the way, it's official. Hillary's going to be the president. The Washington Post on Sunday, a front page story. The Washington Post, you know, Jeff Bezos' blog, The Washington Post. Big story that Hillary Clinton is getting ready for her presidency and is putting plans together now for that. It's a done deal. The Washington Post is telling it it's a done deal. So get used to it, you know, because the insiders, they're not even pretending anymore. They don't even pretend to be unbiased or that, you know, that it's really an election. Everybody knows it's rigged. And they're saying that she's preparing for her presidency. And she's going to be, you know, doing this and, you know, measuring for drapes or whatever they do whenever they move in. And it's just a done deal. That's just what it is. So get used to it. Washington Post, front page story, Sunday above the fold. Let's see. Michelle is joining us. Okay, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for that. We're on weeknights, 9 p.m. Eastern time on blogtalkradio.com and on Facebook Live. I'm Dimitri, the lovable libertarian. And you can follow me on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. And I've got a great show tonight. I've got a great interview. Michael Loftus, The Flip Side with Michael Loftus, conservative comic, very funny guy, very good guy. And it's his third season now, and big announcement. He's dealing with Kevin James. Is that a name? Kevin James? The comic, big comic. I don't want to spoil it for you, but it's worth a listen. It really is. Okay, so we've got all that with Huma. With two things now, with the pay to play, again, the emails, damning indictment, and now we find out that she's an editor. She was on the masthead. Her name is on the masthead of this publication that her mother runs. That, oh, 9/11, oh, America deserved 9/11. And they go after Donald Trump because he says, whether rightly or wrongly, that he saw Arabs or Arab Americans or Muslims, presumably Arab Americans, who were cheering when 9/11 happened and all that. If you're going to go after Donald Trump over that, which is fine, I have actually no problem with that, but then you better, if you're the establishment media, then you had better also go after Huma Abedin and hold Hillary Clinton accountable, because that's like a million times worse than what Donald Trump said. What Huma was linked to for a number of years is a million times worse than what Donald Trump said about 9/11. Criticize Trump all you want because of, you know, he made a statement and couldn't back it up. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but I don't see any proof. I mean, maybe, I don't know, what the hell. And so that's fine. Criticize him. Hold him accountable. But you better do the same thing with Huma Abedin, and that's like a million times worse. I mean, she's an editor, not just a freelance writer, not even a staff writer, but we're talking an editor. That's very high up the food chain. She gets to make the decisions about what is even written in this magazine. And they're writing about 9/11, America deserved it. It's like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And there's no, where's the establishment media with this? Where's the establishment media? Jeez Louise. Oh my gosh. So there's that. More on Hillary's failing health. There was another doctor, another medical, you know, board certified medical doctor on TV on the cable news channel. I know it was Fox, so I can't possibly count, but he's still a doctor, apparently very good credentials, who is saying that, hey, what we need here is some sort of independent study on Hillary Clinton's health. Because again, it's been, you know, it's coming up on like 300 days where she hasn't had a full-blown real live honest-to-God news conference with real live honest-to-God reporters from all the major publications asking her questions. And I'll tell you why. I think there are two issues here. The obvious one, which I'm sure that you've guessed, and I'm sure there are many other talk hosts who've said this, that the media, of course, is covering for her because, you know, the fix is in. Everyone in the establishment hates Donald Trump, whether it's the establishment media or the establishment, you know, the people inside the Beltway, they all hate him. Everything is negative, negative, negative about Trump. And so, yes, there's that. But there's another reason. Another reason why the establishment media is giving Hillary Clinton a pass on all of this. You would think normally, oh, my God, they're not holding news conferences. You've got to be held accountable to the people. And you don't hear that with her, even though it's been close to 300 days now. And the reason for that, in my opinion, is not only are they covering for Hillary, but more importantly, the establishment media, and this is important. I don't think anybody else has come up with this, or if they have, it's very few people. The establishment media is, even though they care a lot about covering for Hillary, they care more about covering for themselves. Now, it sounds counterintuitive. Just hear me out. I believe that the biggest reason, the most important reason why the establishment media is not pressing Hillary Clinton for a real, live, honest-to-God, full-blown news conference is because the media knows it's going to look awful if that happens. The media will look awful because now here you have Hillary Clinton probably sitting because it's very tough for her to stand because she's so feeble and so weak. Now the media is going to be held accountable by the public. It's like, all right, you finally got this news conference, this one news conference that, you know, our next president has graciously allowed the media to question her. So let's hear what the media questions are going to be like. You know, what are you going to ask? You ask her tough questions about, oh, I don't know. How about the server? How about the emails? How about the lying? Oh, by the way, Hillary Clinton, when all else fails, throw the black guy under the bus. She now blames Colin Powell, General Colin Powell, saying that, oh, he was responsible for me doing this email stuff. And Colin Powell's going, don't pin this on me, lady. When all else fails, blame the black guy, Hillary Clinton. Class. All right. So the big thing, though, with the news conference and why the media is not really pressing is because the media is going to look like crap and they know it because they don't want to ask any tough questions. My God, they can't begin the idea of asking the presumptive president, Hillary Clinton, any questions, any tough questions. Is something that is so alien to them, they can't possibly bring themselves to do it. So they're going to ask questions like, what's your favorite color? And what exactly should we call Bill Clinton? Because now he's not the first lady, he's the first dude or whatever. Or Hillary, if you could be any vegetable, what would it be? You know, and questions like that. The media does not want a news conference with Hillary Clinton, not only to protect her, but more importantly, to protect themselves, because they know how awful they will look if they ask her these softball questions. And conversely, they cannot bring themselves to ask the tough questions that you and I and everybody else in flyover country is going, why the hell aren't they asking about these 101 million, horrible things here? Why, that's it. So I think that's what's really going on. Meanwhile, Donald Trump will hold news conferences and all that. And yes, I know he talks off the cuff and sometimes he just really does crazy stuff. But at least he's accessible. And you would think the media would love that, which of course they do, but not to thank him or anything or be appreciative, not to thank him. But instead, it's more material they can use against him. It's the most depraved, the most dysfunctional thing ever here. The establishment media is just the worst. It's absolutely the worst. All right. Also talked about Julian Assange. A while back, I'd said, for those who don't know, I'm getting ahead of myself, Julian Assange is the head of WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks is this incredible organization that helps whistleblowers, because if you're a whistleblower, and if you are, by the way, use WikiLeaks because they're pretty good. Send all this stuff to WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks publishes it, and now you get to find out what all these governments are really doing in your name. And a lot of governments throughout the world hate WikiLeaks and hate Julian Assange because he is exposing all their lies and hypocrisies and all their deals and everything else. They all want him dead. I absolutely believe that they want him dead. Now, he's facing a trumped up charge about sexual assault or something in Sweden. It's all bogus bullcrap. And he knows that. Everybody else knows it. And so he is hiding, not even hiding, he's got sanctuary, if that's even the right term, in an embassy in the United Kingdom, the Ecuadorian embassy. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, what's an Ecuadorian? Well, I didn't know. Turns out that Ecuador is a country. It's actually a country. I did a Wikipedia thing. Turns out it's a country down lower than the United States, even lower than Mexico, down there somewhere. And they've got these islands that have all these weird animals that Darwin looked at and wrote a book about and was very famous. And they have this embassy in the United Kingdom. And Julian Assange is staying there. And I had said on my show, I interviewed several people. I said, I wouldn't be I'm paraphrasing, of course, but I said, I wouldn't be surprised if they try to kill Julian Assange. They, and again, I'm not a tinfoil hat guy. I don't have a tinfoil hat. I don't connect the dots with all the different conspiracy theories. I'm not a birther. I'm not a truther. But I know that, one reason why I don't deal with video games is because they're not real. Life is the best video game. When you get deeply involved in the news and you see everything that's happening and all that, it really is amazing. And when they kill people, they actually kill people. And you don't get to do a start over again. Let's play another game. No. The game's over. Either you win or you lose. And when they kill, they actually kill people. And so I had said a number of times, I wouldn't be surprised if they try to take out Julian Assange. And by take out, I don't mean like on a date. I mean one way or another to kill him. And I don't think it's all that unreasonable. I really don't. I mean, it's sick. But I wouldn't put anything past these people. I really wouldn't. And turns out now that yesterday, the time difference is so different because we're in America and over there, the UK, and that's like east of Long Island. So anything east of Long Island, I'm going like, who cares? Apparently they have different clocks or different times and whatever. So when it's like midnight here, it's like morning there. People are eating their breakfast in the UK, crumpets and tea and whatever the hell they eat there. I don't know. Whatever it is, it ruins their teeth. Anyway, So I'm not quite sure of when, but I think yesterday, somebody tries to break into the Ecuadorian embassy in the UK. Now, you might think to yourself, well, what's the big deal? Well, here's the big deal. Ecuador, as I read in on Wikipedia, is this tiny little nothing country that no one gives a rat's ass about, other than it's near those islands, Galapagos Islands, where that Darwin guy was. Other than that, nobody cares. Nobody cares. They don't care about the Ecuadorian embassy in the United States. They sure as hell don't care about the Ecuadorian embassy in the UK, which apparently looks like it's a townhouse or something with an Ecuadorian flag. And they gave Julian Assange, not amnesty, but sanctuary. I guess that's what it is, sanctuary. Why else would somebody try to break into the Ecuadorian embassy in the UK? What, for all the money that they have? Ecuador doesn't have any money. It's apparently it's dirt poor, crap, little nothing country. There's only one reason, as far as I can tell, and that is to kill him. They didn't catch the guy either. The cops somehow, when the Ecuadorian government, the embassy there, realized somebody's trying to break in the middle of the night, they called the cops. And the cops somehow weren't able to catch the guy breaking into the Ecuadorian embassy. Now, you would think, the police in the UK had always been around that Ecuadorian embassy because they know that if Julian Assange tries to leave, they're going to nab him and send him to Sweden for those trumped-up charges. They've had cops all around this place, on the bobbies. I think they're called bobbies there in the UK and in England. So they've had cops all around this place. If Julian Assange tries to leave, he knows he's going to be arrested because he knows everybody's looking at him. They probably have cameras everywhere because I'm telling you, the governments hate this guy. Now, try to wrap your ears around what I'm going to say here. In spite of all of this, this incredibly hypersensitive focus on one guy, Julian Assange, with all the police and all the security cameras and everything else, and he can't get out of that embassy because he knows the moment he steps out, they're going to nab him, send him off to Sweden, trumped up sex charges, and, you know, there he goes. They're going to finally get rid of him. So this guy breaks into the Ecuadorian embassy. He tries to break in. Ecuadorian embassy calls the police. And surprise, surprise, they don't catch him. They don't catch him. He somehow escaped. Now, mind you have police all around the Ecuadorian embassy. You've got security cameras, everything, because the moment Julian Assange steps out of that thing and out of the sanctuary of the embassy, they're going to nab him. You know the police are all around this thing. They figured out everything, including if he tries to tunnel out or goes underneath the sewer system or whatever the hell it is, or tries to get a helicopter or whatever. I mean, they've got it all covered. And yet, when someone tries to break into the embassy, not only do the police not notice it, but when Ecuador calls and says somebody's trying to break in, they come and the guy somehow escapes. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That is, to me, impossible, unless it was all rigged. There is no way that you or I could break into the Ecuadorian embassy in the UK without every police officer in Great Britain knowing about it, because all of them, the government, they want to get this guy. And I'm sure they've got security cameras and 101 other things so that the moment he makes a break for it or whatever, they're going to nab him. And yet, someone can try to break into the Ecuadorian embassy. No one stops them. Then when Ecuador says, hey, somebody's trying to break in, the guy escapes. Just one of those things. So, yeah, when I was talking about them trying to kill Julian Assange, I think that's what happened. Absolutely, that's what happened. I think they're going to try again. I really do. And again, I'm not a tinfoil hat guy, but, you know, this isn't a video game. These guys play for keeps. this is what they do when the elites, when the establishment is threatened. This is what they do. Now, more on Julian Assange. I'm going to mention two names to you. Tell me which name sounds familiar. Chandra Levy or Seth Rich? A lot of people know the name Chandra Levy because Chandra Levy was this young woman who worked for a congressman, a Republican congressman, or dated him, or there was some sort of connection. I think she worked for him or as an intern or whatever. Some guy named Gary Condit or Conduit or something like that. Some nothing congressman from California. He's long gone. But anyway, Chandra Levy was found, her body was found, and I guess in a park or something in Washington, D.C. It was a homicide. And for the longest time, they were trying to figure out who did this, who killed Chandra Levy. And there was a connection with this congressman. And, oh, my God, the media played this thing up. And it was like, well, you know, what's going on here? What's happening and all that? They finally arrested someone tried him. And now they're going to let him go because turns out the evidence was just a jailhouse snitch saying that, yeah, he admitted it. But that's pretty much all they have. The point here is this. The chances are that you recognize the name Chandra Levy, and the chances are you do not recognize the name Seth Rich. Now, who's Seth Rich? Well, as I mentioned on my show here on One Dimitri Radio a few nights ago, Seth Rich was a person who worked at the DNC, Democratic National Committee. I mean, the Democratic Party. And WikiLeaks released an awful lot of emails regarding the DNC. And I'd mentioned that earlier because Debbie Wasserman Schultz was proving that they were rigging the election in the primaries. I mean, Bernie Sanders, everything he said and his people suspected was all true. It's all true. No one cares. And again, Debbie Wasserman Schultz was rewarded for that by now being the co-chair of the Hillary Clinton campaign. They don't even care anymore. They don't even care to pretend. It's like, yeah, what are you going to do about it? You know, we're the elites, we're in charge. And it's like, you know, there's nothing you can do about this. And they're probably right. So WikiLeaks releases all of these embarrassing emails from the DNC, and several people had to resign because it turns out that they were anti-Semites and they were cheaters and 101 other things. I mean, the worst suspicions that you had about insider politicians, in this case, the DNC, although I'm sure Republicans are just as bad and we can just get their emails. And so WikiLeaks, you know, scored a lot of points. A lot of people in the Democratic Party and, you know, the insiders are really, really upset with Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. Well, this guy, Seth Rich, works at the DNC. And he was coming home one evening. And this is after the WikiLeaks thing. And someone comes up behind him. Two bullets to the back of the head. Two. Execution style. The Washington, D.C. police, the ones who still can't figure out who killed Chandra Levy, said, well, it's a robbery. Because we've had robberies around here. So therefore, it's a robbery. Okay. One little problem with that. Nobody robbed him. He still has money. He still had his cell phone. He still had his jewelry. Seth Rich, two bullets back of the head. Now, what does this have to do with Julian Assange and WikiLeaks? Well, maybe nothing, because I certainly don't know if he was the source of the leaks. However, Julian Assange said that WikiLeaks is putting up $20,000 for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or people who killed Seth Rich. Now, WikiLeaks never divulges its sources, which is a smart move on their part, or else, you know, you have a very difficult time getting anybody to send them stuff. But they might as well have said, yeah, this is the guy that did it. And now he's dead, two bullets to the back of the head. Some robbery, huh? Nothing was taken. Now, what's the big takeaway from this? Well, you know Chandra Levy. You know that name. Poor woman was murdered and, You know, she was connected to this Republican congressman that no one had ever heard of. And I think it's Gary Condit or Conduit or whatever the hell his name is. And yet you probably don't know the name Seth Rich. This is an issue not about who killed him or whatever, but this is an issue about the establishment media. Here you have more interest in a Chandra Levy, somebody killing her. She's connected with this Republican congressman. And you have almost no media interest in anything connected with the seemingly execution of this low-level DNC staffer who, as it turns out, probably leaked all these emails to WikiLeaks. $20,000 reward? I mean, Julian Assange might as well have said, yeah, that's the guy. How in God's name can the establishment media ignore this story? Now, I am not suggesting that, oh, somehow Hillary Clinton was involved or Uma Abedin or whatever. I mean, how the hell would I know that anybody was involved? The point here is that they're not even talking about it. Because if the establishment media even discusses this, you might think that somehow Hillary Clinton, who I do believe is a stone-cold monster, might have had somehow something to do with it. As implausible as that sounds, absolutely implausible. But you know more about, you know the name Chandra Levy more than you do about Seth Rich. Two bullets to the back of the head. Nothing was stolen. Nothing was taken. This is the guy who probably leaked all of this. And we're supposed to go, oh, well, it's just one of those merry mix-ups, just one of those things. And now somebody's trying to break into the Ecuador embassy in the UK, and the police don't see anybody breaking in. They don't arrest anybody after he tries to leave. Really? Really? No, I'm not a conspiracy guy. I can't tell you that anybody was involved in any kind of conspiracy. You never hear me talk about conspiracies. You just don't. I have questions about Hillary Clinton's health. A lot of medical doctors do as well. But we live in a time right now where all of these possibilities don't sound so far-fetched. They don't sound so far-fetched. This isn't a video game. There's no second chance. You don't get to do a replay or whatever. Oh, I scored this many points. These guys play for keeps. These guys play for keeps. Seth Rich is dead. The establishment media, you should know that name. My God, you should have known that name. And, you know, people writing about it. And what's the connection here? What's the connection? Nothing. More people know the name Chandra Levy than they know Seth Rich. Try to wrap your ears around this. Two bullets, back of the head. Does that sound like a robbery to you? Nothing was taken. Does that sound like a robbery to you? In the establishment media? Nothing. Somebody breaks into the Ecuadorian embassy, and it's up to me to go, excuse me. With all the police presence all around the Ecuadorian embassy, how do you get within 1,000 feet of this thing without the cops seeing, hey, there's somebody suspicious? Because they know who's inside that Ecuadorian embassy. They know who's in there. So here you have a guy in the middle of the night, breaks in, can't get to Julian Assange, which I'm assuming that's what this was. I mean, why else would you break into the Ecuadorian embassy, you know, to look at a Galapagos turtle? They don't have any turtles there, or tortoises, or whatever the hell those things are. And then the guy escapes. The cops don't know. It's like, I don't know. All these guys play for keeps. They play for keeps. And with what Trump is doing, now whether you like Trump or not, I know a lot of people don't. I get that. But the elites, the establishment, They don't want to lose their power. They don't want to lose their influence. They don't want to lose their good, really, really good lives. People don't like it in the government when there's a WikiLeaks that spills the beans and gives you all that information. These people play for keeps. And even though the establishment media downplayed the story about breaking into the Ecuadorian embassy, I'm telling you, just common sense says there is no way on this earth that anybody could have gotten within 1,000 feet of that place without the cops, every cop there, knowing it. And then not only does the guy get to break in, he gets to escape. Who in his right mind believes this story? Who believes this story? These guys play for keeps. They play for keeps. And I hope I'm wrong, but I would not be surprised if between now and Election Day, something terrible happens. Something absolutely terrible. Some attempt at taking a life will actually succeed. Because these guys play for keeps. They really do. These are terrible monsters. They play for keeps. A lot of folks joining us on Facebook Live. Of course, Bob Nay, Gary Condit. Right. Thank you, Bob. Jennifer, never saw it. What was the premise? Not sure what we're talking about there. Michael, smoke and mirrors to throw us off the scent. Delusional. Okay. Only. Okay. Let's see. They're talking. Jennifer, Kathy, Ken, Roman. Okay. Fine. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff going on with my Facebook friends. They tend to interact with each other even when they all should be focusing 100% on me. But what are you going to do? Anyway, so that's pretty much it for the show tonight. What I'm going to do for you now is play the interview that I have with this conservative comic, Michael Loftus, very good guy. He's losing his mind over the Never Trump movement. He's trying to figure out what the hell is going on here with this. A lot of funny stuff, good stuff. He's a good guy. Make sure that you tune in for that. And if you like, let's do, since we're going to be wrapping this up, it's sort of a tradition now on One Dimitri Radio with the Facebook Live part of it. Again, our show is simul-streamed on blogtalkradio.com and on Facebook Live weeknights, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And at the end of the Facebook Live part, we have, and there's starting now, a grand finale of emoji fireworks. So all my Facebook friends, start doing all the crazy emojis, and let's have this explosion of emojis. There's hearts and happy faces and thumbs ups, and there's that blow-up doll one. Just really creepy. It really creeps me out. The whole idea of blow-up dolls really creeps me out. I mean, what kind of loser do you have to be to have a blow-up doll? Jesus H. Oh, like, ooh. Anyway, so there we go. There's the grand finale, and we'll do now the interview here and spread the word. Please share these videos all over Facebook, everywhere else, if you would, please. We're getting a lot of people who tune in and views, which is wonderful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But if you could share these with lots of other people, post them on your walls or whatever, so we get more and more people. So these fireworks tonight are fantastic. Look at these. This is great. We'll have even more emoji fireworks one day. We're going to have so many people being involved in this at the same time that the emoji fireworks will be so overwhelming that it'll be just a wall, a mass of emoji fireworks. You won't even be able to see me like from this down, because it'll be nothing but fireworks. So we're getting there. But if you could spread the word and share this so that we get it posted everywhere, that would be fantastic. So, all right. Hopefully nobody's going to take me out before tomorrow night. So we'll do it again tomorrow night. Look at this. This is fantastic. I can just watch this all night. Okay, that's enough. All right. Now let's do our interview.